Turn to the sixth chapter of Ephesians. And I'd like to read a portion of scriptures. And this is Paul's conclusion. After all of the things that he had said, the wonderful position that he placed us in Christ Jesus, and how because of that we ought to follow him in obedience and love him and love each other. Paul says in verse 10, finally, this is the end of the letter. You know, at the end of a letter, I kind of sum up, maybe save my most strongest admonition for the last thing that you read. And because Paul had been through so many trials in his life, because Paul had been through so many persecutions in this life, I think this is one of, you know, I talk about where our Christianity meets reality a lot. And I know all of you got stuff. I know you do. I got stuff. You got stuff that we're struggling with. And because all of us have stuff, Paul had stuff, the people at the church at Ephesus had stuff, and Paul saves this for last. And he says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's a mouthful, isn't it? The Apostle Paul here is describing First of all, our enemy. What our enemy is, and how, and where he is, and what it is. He says, we don't fight against flesh and blood. If we fought against flesh and blood, then we would take guns and knives and whatever out to the opponent and have an earthly war with it. That's not the kind of battle that Paul is talking about. Our enemy is spiritual wickedness in high places. It is against the rulers of the darkness of this world. You know, there's darkness of this world. This world is dark. And there are rulers of that darkness in the world. And that's what we're fighting against, the rulers of the darkness of this world. We're fighting against principalities. What does that mean? That means principles. Things that are the beginning. The word that comes from is the word archaic. You've ever heard that term? That's archaic. Well, all that means is the origin. That's what archaic means. It means the first or principal or original thing. Archaic. Paul says that is what we fight against. We fight against the principles of things, the how things start, how they go against Christ. Do y'all know that everything has a beginning? Did y'all know that the church was split even way back when? The church of Christ has been splitting and splitting and splitting and splitting for a long time. And Paul says, you've got to fight against anything that's against God's Word. Against the... When you have a principle coming into a church or whatever, you got to fight against that principle if it's against God. You have to fight against that. If it's against His Word. And I think that we've done that here. I mean, specifically, we've done it here at this church. On more than one occasion. Paul says, that is our enemy. Do y'all know that the world is not your friend? The world is not your friend. Jesus said it wasn't. He says, if the world hates you, don't worry about it. Don't be surprised if the world hates you, because just know that it hated me first. It hated me and it's going to hate you. If you're following after me, the world will hate you. But God will be pleased. But if you want ease in this world, follow after the world and displease the Father. Somebody's going to be pleased, somebody's going to be displeased. Right? If you follow after Jesus, the world will hate you and God will be pleased. If you follow after the darkness of this world, then God will not be pleased, but you'll have it easy in the world. It's kind of simple. You remember the two kingdoms? Kingdoms of the world, kingdom of God. Which path are you going to take? Paul says to these brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. But how are we supposed to walk? If we're going to walk in the kingdom of God, everybody wants to, at least God's people, I would like to think that all of God's people would want to be walking according to the kingdom path, the king's highway, so to speak. Right? Paul says the only way really for you to get along and to survive on that road is to put on the whole armor of God. He didn't say put on half of it. If I came, this is a right analogy or example. If I came to church and I had on a tie and a coat, but no shirt and no pants, but I have my shoes on, that would look strange, wouldn't it? That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Or if I came in here barefooted with just my underwear on, that would look strange, wouldn't it? Or if I had my shoes and pants on but was bare up top, that would be strange, wouldn't it? I would be insufficient. Part of me would be covered, but not all of me would be covered, right? And it wouldn't be appropriate or becoming a preacher to come preach the word half dressed, right? By the same token, it's not becoming a child of God to go out and walk as a brother or sister in Christ half naked. It's not becoming. And it's not appropriate for us to walk in the kingdom of God not dressed appropriately, because this dressing is for your safety. Paul's talking about armor here, right? He's talking about fighting against what? Against the world. So he describes our enemy. Then he describes our armor. You know, I had a call for almost an hour, about an hour and a half. I got a call while we were at singing school. I had to sit in my truck at a place where we have a signal, you know, several miles from the singing school, and I had a friend call me, and he needed some counseling. And things that bothered him greatly. And this man is very well acquainted with Scripture, a godly man, loves the Lord and knows His Word, and yet he struggles with something, some issues. And he's forgotten some of these things. Even though he knows them, he needed some reassurance. And I read him part of these scriptures, this portion of Scripture here, along with several others, about the things that he needed to do daily. And the first part of this armor is having your loins girt about with truth. Now, what are your loins? What are your loins? It's the portion of your body from here to here. That's your loins. Your middle torso from your upper legs to your waist is your loins. In the Scripture, the loins talk about or denote strength. And virility. A lot of the things in the Scriptures where it talks about all the Levites and all that coming out of the loins of Abraham, meaning all of his children, all of great nations and kings coming out of his loins. Okay? Your children. Not only that, your posterity. You get it? Not only is it your strength, but is your posterity, more importantly. Having your loins girt about with what? Truth. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Because he didn't know. I can tell you that truth matters to God. It matters what you're raising your children as. It matters what you are teaching them in principles. And you ought to have your loins girt about with truth. You know, there were several times in the scriptures that says, gird up your loins. God told Job, gird up your loins now like a man. That meant that it's time for you to strap it up, tighten up your belt, gather up your garments, and get ready to go. That's what God told Moses and them back when he instituted the Passover. He said, you have your loins girt, your staff in your hand, and everything ready to go because it's time to go. So whenever God tells us to gird up our loins, that means to prepare yourself, get ready to go, and have your loins girt about with truth. That means, first of all, that you've got to understand truth. What is truth? God's Word is truth. Gird your loins up with truth. Bring your children, fathers, up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means bring them up in truth. Truth of this Word. Now when they gird up their loins, that meant that they protected them. That meant that they were ready for battle. And you look at a policeman girds his loins, don't he? He puts a belt on, the gun on, bullets, everything he needs on that belt right here. Okay? He's got his handcuffs back there. He's got extra clips and all that stuff for his gun. He's got mace. He's got everything he needs right here. He's protecting something. It's at hand. It's ready. Did you know where you put your sword? You put it in on your loins. You put it in on your girt, or the thing that you gird your loins about. It's where you hold your sword. Having your loins girt about with truth. That protects your posterity. And having on the breastplate of righteousness. What does the breastplate cover? It covers your heart, doesn't it? Protects your heart. Not only does it protect your heart, it protects your lungs. What do your lungs do? They allow you to breathe. Right? That's what a breastplate is. You can see that back in the old armor, you know, where they have this, especially the Romans, they had this armor that was a plate of brass, and it was right here in the front, and then it was in the back too, and they had this breastplate, protected your front. But what are we supposed to protect our heart with? Righteousness. That means to be right. It doesn't mean that I'm right all the time. Are we supposed to protect our heart with our righteousness or the righteousness of Christ? That Christ is righteous. That whatever truth is, it allows us to protect our posterity, and whatever righteousness it is, it protects our heart and allows us to breathe in this life. That we ought to go in His righteousness. And I tell you, that righteousness if you go in your own righteousness, what's going to happen to your heart? Oh, it's going to be out there to be stomped on, isn't it? But if you go in His righteousness, He can take care of His own righteousness. We don't have to cover God up or protect Him. He can protect Himself. Amen? That's right. Now, after that, so we've got our loins girt about with truth and the breastplate of righteousness, and then He says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. How many of y'all go barefooted all the time? I used to go barefooted almost all the time when I was little. But God says for us to go with our feet shod with what? The preparation of the gospel of peace. That's not just talking about preachers, folks. That's talking about you. That you, as you walk, and what does shod in your feet do? It protects you as you walk. It keeps you from stubbing your toe when you hit something kind of hard. It keeps you from stepping on something that's strong, sharp and pointy and hurting yourself as you walk. So as you walk down this King's Highway, that we ought to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And what is preparation? Same thing that He's been talking about. You've got to be prepared. How could you have... what is the gospel of peace? Do you know? Do you know what the gospel of peace is? If you don't, then you're not equipped to walk in the highway. If you don't know what that is, how in the world could you go with your feet shod in it? The preparation of the gospel of peace is that Jesus Christ made peace between you and God, and God and you. Jesus Christ did that. That's what the gospel is. The gospel says that there was a breach made of sin that separated God and you, and Jesus Christ reconciled both parties as the day's man, as the mediator between God and man, and by His offering to God, He forever sanctified you. That's not how that goes. That's not exactly how that scripture goes. I can't get it right now. He has perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's what it was. That's what it means. He by one offering did that. And that is the preparation of the gospel, or that's the gospel of peace. Now you ought to walk in that preparation. You ought to have your feet shod, always having that in your mind, prepared to preach the gospel of peace daily. That's you. You ought to do that. When someone comes and they say, What are you following down that way? And I'm going to tell you why I'm following Jesus Christ. It's because He reconciled me to God. He took what He closed the gap between that separated me and God, and He stood in that gap for me, and he made the offering to God on my behalf, and because of that, I follow Him. That's your having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. That you're prepared to preach it as you go down this journey. Because all of these things are what they're protective parts of the armor that we've talked about so far. All protection. Protection.